Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast, and we'll take calls as well later in Bulldog segment if you'd like to ask him anything. 1353 54 0419 767 272. Just the Champions League this morning, first leg of their quarterfinals, Arsenal and Bayern Munich. It's finished 2-2 at the Emirates. The other match, Real Madrid and Manchester City, 3-3 at the Bernabeu. Two cracking games this morning, and tomorrow's Champions League quarterfinals first leg, Atletico Madrid against Borussia Dortmund, and PSG are up against Barcelona. Bulldogs bite today in the Daily Telegraph. I love this text from the Orange Spud. Can Bulldog go third person and ask himself a question on his own segment, please? We'll be enthralling radio.
I'm happy to, Orange Spud.
Daily Terry Evans you've written about, though, and just, you know, as he heads off contract next year, and how that could all look going forward after, well, he's broken the Manly club games record there on the weekend against Penrith. And you know, as a player you look at and you think, it's not really slowing down as far as, you know, he's still playing great footy. He's generally very durable. So how does it all land, I guess, is what you've pondered in this article, if he wants to keep going.
Yeah, it'd just be fascinating the way it plays out. As you said, Mino, I think Jerry Evans is in career best form. He's certainly in the top three halfbacks in the NRL at the moment. He's the existing Queensland origin halfback and captain. And we saw last week at Brookvale how loved he is down there. The question I've asked in the column is, Jerry will be 36 next year when his contract expires. How many years will he want on top of that? And will Manly want to pay it? They will treat him with the utmost respect. Manly are always very good to their legends, and they know what Cherry means to the club, the brand, and the fans. But clearly, you know, if Daly wants 2 or 3 years at big money, in your mid-30s, you can fall off a cliff very quickly in terms of when age catches up, and it does with every one of us, Loz, as we all know.
Speak for yourself.
Well, I mean, as a football player...
Oh, I thought you were talking about looks.
Yeah, no, that went past you many years ago. But as a football player, you know it can go south very quickly. So I guess the negotiations will be, no doubt, amicable. But, you know, is it their Adam Reynolds moment? Where do Manly go if Cherry wants 2 years? Because you have to start to safe-proof your future in terms of halves, and also your salary cap is incredibly important.
Well, I think what they'd be doing at the moment is trying to identify the next player to play halfback with this Manly team that has the same longevity, and that's probably not going to be the case, but they're aiming to have the same longevity as a Daly Cherry Evans. And I would say that Daly will not go and play with another club. I'd say that Daly is firmly entrenched there on the northern beaches, and possibility of going into coaching if that's what he wanted to do after his playing career. So I think that you could do a year-on-year with Daly and see how he's travelling. But I think the key for Manly at the moment is to identify the next one and to make sure that they're ready to go whenever Daly calls it quits. Because I think that they will come to a mutual decision together, Manly and Daly, because he won't want to go on too long if he's not playing anywhere near his best. But if he's thinks he's got something to contribute, then you'd be mad to let him go, because they're hard to find. But if you identify someone now and you think Daly's got 3 years left in him, then you're going to set yourself up in a good position for when he does go, because you've just got someone to roll out.
I mean, it's important to treat every legend respectfully, and as I said before, no doubt Manly will. We saw his 310th appearance on the weekend, what he could do on the field, and the excitement he generates off the field as well. So it's incredibly, not so much delicate nor sensitive, but it's, or they are negotiations that will have to be perhaps a little bit of give and take on both sides. And you would imagine the logical conclusion would be at the end of next year that Cherry would ask for one more year. You would imagine Manly would give him that.
Oh, you look and what Sean Johnson's doing at the Warriors. He's on a year-by-year contract at the moment. He's playing his best football. And he's got that hunger and desire to compete. And whatever he's got that, I don't think they will hesitate in giving Sean Johnson another year at the end of this year. And it'll be the same with Daly. But there'll be things in his game that people will notice as he gets older that is not quite there. And then they have to make a decision on the next person coming in. Is he ready yet? Or are we prepared to say maybe give Daly 12 more months extension and then this guy will be ready to go? So I think they're in a good place. I mean, they've got arguably the second best halfback in the comp. I'd be in no rush to rush him out the door.
Yeah, no, certainly not. And there's no insinuation of that in the story either, just to make that clear.
Right.
I mean,
oh, you're just putting it out there.
They love Daly. Right. And it's more about a respect thing, isn't it, Loz?
Yeah.
I mean, you're at the Raiders. You know how hard it is to keep everybody happy. But when you're talking about legends, and you are here, I mean, he's now, in my eyes, you could argue he's the third greatest player in Manly's history. Bozo will always be number one. You could argue that Beaver's number two. And then you've got Cherry, Cliffy, Toves. You've got a lot of great players. But Cherry is in the argument for top five.
Argument.
You don't agree?
Look at some players of that club. I couldn't. I'd have the names you mentioned outside of them.
Yeah. There's a couple of good fullbacks that have played that club. There would be an argument.
Yeah.
For Cherry, and it's definitely something that you could debate. And it's, what is it, beauty in the eye of the beholder. And that's where you're at. And what Daly has done is now he's the most capped Manly player of all time. So whenever you get someone that plays that many games, they've obviously had longevity with their career and they're synonymous with that club and will always be remembered as one of the greats of the club. But in terms of where you actually rank him, that'd be a different argument altogether.
Just while we're on Manly as well, you've written in your Bite column today about there being a bit of a Vegas curse. But I don't think that applies to Manly, though, does it? Maybe the other three clubs, Bulldog, that went to Vegas, but Manly going pretty well.
Yeah, I just wrote a cheeky story saying that, is it the Vegas curse or the Nevada hangover? Not one of the four teams that went to Vegas are inside the top six at the moment. And of the 20 games that they've played, they've only won eight, which is substantially down on what they would have thought, because the four clubs that went to Vegas were all very strong too. There was no duds going to Vegas. It was just a cheeky suggestion, you know, is there a hangover there? Is it coincidence? But it just seemed unusual that four gun sides have come back, have all struggled, and not one of them sit inside the top six.
Yeah, and a few of them had their injury problems as well,
correct,
haven't they? You know, so
correct.
Talking of Vegas, though, what are you hearing in terms of next year?
I think you'll find that the Panthers are certainties, Laurie. I think you'll find Melbourne Storm are near certainties. And then from there, there's about seven or eight teams queuing up. Clearly, everyone who saw it back home this year thought, you know what, we want to be part of it.
Yeah.
So I think there's a queue. I think Canterbury have said they won't go, and there might be one or two others that have said they might aim for 2026?
Five or six.
The year after. I know that the Roosters want to go back again, and Manly want to go back again. So it's up to the commission now to work out whether they will send two of the same sides or give two other clubs the opportunity to go.
Couldn't see them ever sending the Gold Coast Titans. Do you imagine a horde of Titans fans going to Vegas?
It's hard, Mido. I said to Laurie, you can't, if it's a five-year agreement, you can't send the best four or eight in the first 2 years because you're going to be left down the bottom for rounds, say, three, four, even five. So do they try to mix it up a bit? And you've got to give fans a year, I reckon.
Yeah.
If you can, to start to save to get over there. It's not a cheap trip.
No.
It's a wonderful trip, but it ain't cheap, let me tell you. Mm. So you've got to give them time. But I do know that the NRL is also trying to obviously encourage people to go to Magic Round.
Mm.
So it wouldn't surprise me if the announcement comes after Magic Round when the punters have already gone to Brisbane.
And there was also some talk about taking a women's game over there as well. And one question that we got when we first posed the question, if we, you know, you should be naming these teams earlier. so give the fans the opportunity to buy their tickets. What happens if the team wins the competition and has got the World Club Challenge?
Correct. Well, Penrith are already going to Vegas, so if they win it again. But there was chit-chat, Laurie, and it's not confirmed. There was some chit-chat a few weeks ago that maybe they might have two double headers. They might have the four teams playing as they did this year, and then on either the night before or the night after, they might have the World Club Challenge, which then opens up the event for potentially 10,000 English fans to come across, and also maybe a replay of the NRLW Grand Final. So it could be two games in successive nights, which would mean a lot more work logistically, but also it would ensure a big crowd.
Mm. No, but I'm only saying that because if you announce the team that are going and you're a supporter of one of those teams, so you buy your ticket and your team ends up winning the grand final, but your team doesn't go to Vegas.
But that's what I'm saying, the World Club Challenge could
be in
Vegas.
Yeah, it could be, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's going to be an extra cost then too, isn't it?
Yeah.
To have all these other teams playing. And.
But you're going to have to name your four teams before the end of the year. So it's a bit of a prickly
one. Yeah, but what I'm saying is if that doesn't happen and you've paid your ticket to the game or and flights and your team's not there, what are you going to do?
Mm.
Probably the Gillaroos and Kiwi Ferns.
Even better, Mido. Great idea.
Mm.
The other two teams.
Huh?
Who's that? Whose idea is that?
I'll give her up.
Yeah.
Lara Pitt. Fox Sports. Right. One of the greats. Mm.
Lara was there this year. Yep. She obviously has seen Vegas firsthand and how impressive it was. I'd personally like to see the Warriors go. There's a big Polynesian population in California and Utah. I think they could really draw some big numbers, the Warriors, particularly the way they're going right now.
You've also laid down the gauntlet, or thrown it down, to West Tigers fans in the MacArthur region, Bulldog.
Yeah, I have. For years now, the Campbelltown fans have been bleating about a lack of footy out there in the southwest of Sydney. This Sunday, 4 o'clock, perfect time slot, they play St George Illawarra. It won't be the game of the year, Loz, but it will still be a good game of football. We bag Leichhardt, we say it's antiquated, it's dilapidated, but they still pull numbers.
Definitely.
They pulled 16 2 weeks ago. So I think it's time for the Campbelltown people to stop complaining and start putting some bums on seats at Campbelltown Stadium. The ground holds about 17,500 to 18,000. I said this morning, anything under 15, I think is poor.
Think
this is
right.
Their chance to show that they deserve more footy out there. And if there are going to be less games at Leichhardt and more games out in the MacArthur region, well, here's the chance to show why we should take games out there.
Well, I think that's where the future is for the Tigers.
Well, let's show it then. Mm. Let's get some bums on seats out there. I think the average crowd last year or the last 2 years has been, I think it's about 10,000, which is not great. It's not disastrous,
no.
But it's not great.
No. I get that. But if you're going to go somewhere, you've got to give it more than just one or two games a year. You've got to be out there. You've got to be...
I know, Loss, but to go out there more regularly, you have to prove that you are worthy of that. And at the moment, this is all they've got.
Yeah, but what comes first? If you're only going to show a little bit of love, why would they get behind you?
Well, that's going to stay that way then.
Yeah, but if you said, we're going to take training out here, we're going to build our centre of excellence out here, and we keep getting told that this is the fastest growing area in Sydney, well, that's where I think their future lies, not in Balmain.
Well, the future at the moment is obviously still going to be
Leichhardt.
In the inner west. That's where their centre of excellence is.
Yeah, so, and I know that.
And that's where it's going to stay. Obviously, they've just spent $50 million on it.
Barbershop.
And the barbershop, yeah. Exactly. But it's the chicken and the egg, though, Loz, isn't it? What goes first? But you aren't going to get more people going to games regularly if you don't support them now.
Have you been listening?
Would you just say the same thing, did you? Well, it just shows I don't listen to you.
By the way, lots of texts here on when you mentioned where Daly Cherry Evans sits in Manly history. Naturally, a lot of texts around that. Graham Eadie really gets mentioned as one of Manly greats. I'd have him above Cherry, says the Sanssouci Sea Eagle. Ash from Eleanora Heights clearly has to be a Manly fan. Morning, boys. Here's my top five Manly players of all time. Bob Fulton, Steve Menzies, Cliff Lyons, Jeff Toovey, Malcolm Reilly / DCE. He's got it five. That's a pretty good top five, isn't it? I mean, I never saw Malcolm Reilly play, but I've heard my dad speak about him.
One of the all-time greats, Malcolm, really. Brett Stewart is another one.
You're kidding, Bullfrog. Snake, Jamie Lyon, Gifty, Edie, Turbo, Tuvi, Hasler, Lyons, all better than Cherry. I mean, these are just great pub arguments, aren't they, really, at the end of the day. Now, your kickoff situation. Laurie, do you want to take him to task on this?
Oh, yes. I want to take you to task, Bulldog, because when you first raised it and we mentioned it to you, you said, I was just proposing it. I wasn't trying to enforce it. I was trying to propose it. And then I saw you on 360 and you said the same thing, all right, which is fine. So you just proposed it. So then on Monday, I pick up the paper and there's been another incident over the weekend in the paper. I told you so. I told you so. This is what the game needs to change.
Well, I told you so that they will
have to. Well, why didn't you hold your position at the start? You flipped
the fork. They will have to look at it.
What, so
you
just...
We saw Mo Fodawaker come off the back fence.
You're too good.
And he ran into that young kid. Is it Sam
McIntyre?
McIntyre from
Cowboys.
The Cowboys. Mm. And not only did McIntyre go off for an HIA, so did Fodawaker. So that led to me saying to you, Laurie Daly, I told you so. They are going to have to look at this.
But you hold your position and be firm with your position. You were wishy-washy. You were like, oh, no, I raised it. The first bit of ammunition that was fired at you, you hid. And you were doing the old, I don't believe it. I'm just bringing it up.
I don't want the collision to go in rugby league. I'm old school. I'm probably a dinosaur.
Well, it's good.
I don't want it to go.
Well, hold that position.
I am saying that they will definitely look at this.
Well, why did you use I told you so?
Because I told you so that they will look at this. There's more injuries. That's the fourth KO this year from the kickoff. Do you not think that the NRL,
I know they'll look
given the stance that they've taken in recent years, will look at this situation?
I've got no doubt they'll be looking at a Bulldog, and I've got no doubt probably in 20 years it'll happen. But that doesn't mean that you could sit there and say, yes, I'm a supporter of it. If you're brave enough and tough enough to stick by your word, which you had in the paper too, by the way, so it's in print.
Do you know what? The more I think about it, the more I think maybe they should look at banning it.
Well, that's good. You've taken a strong position. Well done to you, Dean.
And I don't say
Can I shake your hand?
No, don't touch me. The more I think about it,
well, that's good.
The more I
stick with it.
And as much as people hate it, and people have been accusing me of ruining the game of rugby league.
Yeah, you have.
Yes. Yeah. That maybe we have to think about the players.
No. Don't go back to maybe. We need to.
Well, of course we do.
Well, that's the position. You see, you flip-flopped again.
Of course we do.
Beautiful. I'm coaching you along the way.
It's clear we have to think of the players. Well, okay, you tell me then. You make your stance. Do you like to see players coming off from head knocks?
No, I don't like to see players coming
from
off.
From long kickoffs?
I don't like to see players come off from long kickoffs. I don't like to see them from 10 metres away in a defensive line.
But
so what am I going to do?
It's called a contact sport.
If I want to watch rugby league.
Yeah, but there's minimising the contact. You can't eradicate the contact. We don't want to.
Right.
But we can minimise it.
Well, how are you going to minimise it? How are you going to minimise it over 10 metres then?
By playing Oztag?
You can't minimise it over 10 metres, clearly.
Because they have more head knocks by the collision over 10 than what we do off kickoffs.
Would the game be that bad if, rather than a long kickoff, it was a tap from the 20-metre line?
Yes.
Are we losing that much?
Yes.
You really believe that?
Yeah, I do,
100%.
I think it would be people like you two blowing up for the first week, and then you know what? It'd be forgotten. We take the tap, we get on with play.
No, I'd keep blowing up.
No, I'm a blower up. But I like this from you because you're starting to take a position. So that's fine. Now, if I turn on 360, are you on 360 tonight?
I was on last night.
Right. Did you cop it about anything?
No, I was okay.
Right. But just next time someone asks you about this topic, be strong, all right?
Oh, thanks, Laurie.
This is the coaching that you needed.
I appreciate copying media tips from you.
Well, you need to be strong, Bulldog.
Mate, I was doing this when you were in nappies. In
the hospital.
Now, what, Bulldog, Sam Burgess will keep getting linked to the Bunnies and heading back there, won't he? While the club is going through, you know, a difficult period in relation to the scrutiny around their current coach. Where could that all end up?
The mail out of South that I'm getting, Mido, is that I think there's an inevitability that Sam Burgess will coach South Sydney one day. It's just more a matter of when. But at the moment, I think South are more than happy for Sam to stay and complete his apprenticeship in England. Mm. He's only 7 games into his first grade coaching career, and I don't think right now is the time to bring a coach across who's had 7 games. Mm. And clearly Sam left late last year under a bit of a cloud. It was a bit of a he said, she said. It wasn't the most harmonious exit. So I think at the moment, Sam, you can take him out of the equation. The only way it would happen was if Wayne says, I'm coaching, I'll take Sam with me, and after 2 years, I can hand over.
Strong opinion, Dean. Strong opinion.
Thank you.
Now, this is an ad I'm looking forward to reading. If you're loving the upcoming Masters, which we certainly are, and are keen to see the best golfers in the world right here in Australia, well, LIV Golf is for you. And how about this? We're going to be there this year. We're broadcasting from the Grange Golf Club in Adelaide, Friday, April 26, ahead of day one of LIV Golf. It's golf, but louder. So don't miss the epic weekend of shotgun starts, fan village fun, headline music acts, including Fisher, flight facilities, and Tones and I as well. Tickets are on sale now. LIVGolf.com. That's LIVGolf.com. Children under 12 are free at the gate as well. Can't wait to see what it's all about. LIV Golf at the Grange, Adelaide, from Friday, April 26. Welcome back. If you missed it before, the Champions League quarterfinal, first league results this morning. Arsenal and Bayern Munich finished 2-2 in London, and Real Madrid and Manchester City 3-3. Two great games this morning. Also the Matildas, they've got a friendly 10 a.m. our time. In San Antonio, Texas, they're playing Mexico. And they're $1.70 favourites with TAB. Mexico, $4. The draw, $3.80. The Mexicans are ranked 31st. They boast a recent 2-0 win over the US. And Tony Gustafsson, he has plenty unavailable through injury. Of course, they're trying to recover in time for Paris. The likes of Claire Hunt, Katrina Gorry as well. All I could think of was Ted Lasso when I saw this comment. He says he doesn't like to say we're experimenting, Loz, but we'll be trying a lot of different things.
Ted, where can I watch that game today?
It'll be on I'm
Stan
Fox.
I don't know whether it'll be on.
I'm sure Paramount? It'll be one of the 10 channels. Maybe if it's not the main 10 channel, maybe on Bowl, but it'll be on Paramount.
Right.
But I'd say one of the, because of the national team, I'm pretty sure 10 has to carry it.
Yeah. Well, you'd think with the Matildas, the success they've had, and the numbers that are generated every time they play a game, you'd have to have it on the main channel, you would have thought. What's going to keep it off there?
Well, Studio 10.
Is Berkey on there? Is Berkey work this early in the morning, or is he just at night?
No, he's the glory time.
Right.
Late Arvo, evening bulletin. Just some AFL news. Melbourne forward Cozzy Pickett, he failed to have his rough conduct charge at the tribunal downgraded, so he's out for tomorrow's match against Brisbane at the MCG, which is also Lockie Neal's 250th. So big occasion for him there at the G tomorrow night, and a great game of footy between Melbourne and Brisbane. Crucial game, particularly for the Lions. Now, Collingwood Scott Pendlebury has broken ribs from the match against Hawthorn in Gather Round. So the Pies and the Swans have the bye this week, but Collingwood, they'll be hoping Pendlebury's back for their match against Port Adelaide Saturday week, but is clearly in doubt. Carlton star Sam Walsh is set to return from a back injury and play his first game of the season against Adelaide. The Blues flying 4-0, who Loz, he said from the start, they're one of your four clubs that can win the flag this year. What about this, Loz? There's been a debate in the AFL as well about the West Coast Eagles, who've won 5 of their past 53. Debate as to whether they should receive a priority draft pick from the AFL. They won the comp in 2018. And just because they're useless now.
Mm. Why should they benefit from being crap?
Oh, well, and considering the club of their...
But you're rewarding a team for failure.
But they will argue they've given North Melbourne, obviously the Gold Coast Suns, special packages, assistant packages. But you look at West Coast, who has one of the biggest membership and sponsorship bases for any sporting club in the country.
And they said that Harley Reid on the weekend was outstanding. I didn't see any of the game, but they reckon his performance was very, very good.
It's a dangerous precedent, though, isn't it? What happens if next year a team doesn't win a game? Do they go?
Oh, yeah, it's got to be over a period of time.
Yeah, but what 50 games? Then you can go and say, oh, we want some dispensation.
But you know what? I think it'll depend on how they track, because their performance against the Swans would suggest that they're very competitive. And they've been more than competitive in a couple of games this year, but they've been beaten in blowouts as well. And there was more blowouts last year.
Definitely.
And I think it looked like it was going to track that way again. So that's where the sort of talk has come from. But if they play the way they did on the weekend, and again, I didn't see the game, but I saw the scoreline. If they can keep close and maybe win a couple of games, I don't think there'll be talk of priority picks then.
What odds, Middo, would you give personally for a Giants-Swans grand final?
I think it's about $9, the Quinella. And Loz and I both actually was one. I think we both had the same fearless prediction at the end of last year that they would play in the grand final this year. Yeah, the AFL Quinella market, I'll look it up for you to tell you what it is right now, Bulldog. But it's
be a bit short now.
It's right in the market, let me tell you. Quinella. Oh, I'm going to have to scroll down all these clubs, but I'm sure it's around the $9 mark.
I've got a mate of mine, and I won't give him up. He's quite high up in the AFL.
$10 it is. Go
$10.
For it.
$10. Yep. My mate, AFL.
He's a friend of mine, and he's adamant, though, that Collingwood are gone for the year already. He said they cannot win it. Maybe that's premature, but, you know better than I do.
Well, they scraped across the line last weekend against Hawthorn when they looked as though they had that game wrapped up. Hawthorn hasn't won a game yet. Geez, there's still some talent there, but I couldn't write them off yet. I don't think they can win a comp, but I wouldn't say they can't make the finals.
Just the Masters, round one, the groups. Have you missed it earlier? So the groups involving the Aussie players for round one at Augusta National. Amateur Jasper Stubbs is playing with Zach Johnson and Corey Connors to tee off 11 p.m. tomorrow night. Minwoo Lee plays with Patrick Cantlay and Ricky Fowler, 12:06 a.m. early Friday morning. Of course, these are Eastern Standard Times. Cameron Smith plays with US Open champion Wyndham Clark and Victor Hovland, 12:54 a.m. they tee off Friday morning. Cam Davis is with Camilo Vijaygas and Denny McCarthy at 1:18 a.m. and Adam Scott with Sam Burns and Cameron Young, 3:12 a.m. And Jason Day has the honour of playing with Tiger Woods and Max Homa. There'll be thousands following that group and teeing off our time here in Australia, Eastern Standard Time, at 3:24 a.m. on Friday morning. Lots of texts. I'll tell you what, a lot of these texts, Bulldog, I think a lot of our listeners want you to catch the ball off the kickoff.
Possibly. Possibly.
You'd run through them, though, wouldn't you?
Not sure about that. I say this, though, okay? It's all right for the punters out there to say, don't ruin our game, but they aren't the ones that cop the head knocks, and they aren't the ones that wake up for a week with headaches, and they aren't the ones that start forgetting where they put their keys when they're 40 years old. I know it's easy to say, don't ruin the fabric of our game, but are they putting their desire for the game to remain physical ahead of the well-being of players? You both are going to say no.
I just think it's rugby league, it's a contact sport. We've done so much to mitigate everything. Where does it stop? You know, when you play this sport, there is a risk. So it's your choice whether to play it or not. And how much have we done in the last few years to mitigate that sort of stuff? How much? Where do you want it to end?
Yeah, look, it's a valid point. It's a valid point. But also fear the one day a class action does come. And if it does come...
Well, now the game should fight it because they've done so much to mitigate it. And individual... Well, I just feel in so many aspects of life now, we have to save everyone from themselves. We've all got our own decisions that we can make. Why do we have to save everyone from themselves from everything? Anyway, that's my rant for this morning.
I'm totally behind you.
Thank you, Laurie.
Dean?
You know what? I'll be interested by the end of the season, how many KOs there's been from kickoffs. We're at 5 after 5. So let's keep an eye on it and see what happens.
As I said to you before, mate, I think it's inevitable that it will happen. But do I like that it's going to happen? No, I don't.
Well, that's generally my stance, Loz.
Well, no. Your stance was more It should be banned. And for me, I just can't get my head around, and I suppose I will get my head around it at some point, starting a big game with a play the ball or just a short kickoff.
Did you see Nathan Brown last week, a Brookie? Gee, he took the ball back with figure, and the crowd loved it. Yeah. The crowd loved it, and I loved it too. Don't get me wrong. It's a big part of our game. Go back to Spud and Chief if you want. You know, it's iconic moments.
Well,
in
here, I'll put this to you. Say there's four incidents, which would be a lot, but it could happen. Short dropout, someone goes up for the ball and lands awkwardly. And let's hope nothing serious happens, but, you know, they concuss themselves from doing that. Then do you look at banning the short dropout?
No, but the point I'm trying to make is that you can minimise. You can't eradicate totally, but you can say, okay, look, it could happen in 150 occasions a game, but if we can take out 10 of those, then we are heading in the right direction. Right.
And most of the ones have been head-on-head from kickoffs.
Well, as we know, Laurie, you know better than anybody, it's generally three men.
Yeah.
You got one to the left, one to the right, and there's the bloke in the middle.
Yep.
The bloke in the middle is essentially sandwiched in there, isn't he?
Yeah, but that's so if he goes high. That's if he goes high.
But they're all at head.
Yeah, but they don't have to go high.
But they're all at head height, Laurie. They're not going high with their arms. They're going high with their heads because they don't bend in the tackle.
That's what I'm getting at. That's what I'm getting at. So you could argue that it's your fault because you're going in to make a tackle and you don't go in with the correct tackle technique. It's your fault if you go in upright and you want to allow yourself to have that head-on-head contact. That's you. That's not the game. Because the game has taught you from a junior level how to tackle properly. And that is to get close to your target, eye on the target, bend and drive.
But you know that doesn't happen at kickoffs.
Well, why not?
Well, it just doesn't. They just go in, ball at a gate.
And they're putting themselves at risk. The game's not putting themselves at risk. The player is.
We've got Mitch Menners joining us, Sky Racing's Gold Coast caller. Mitch, morning to you, mate. How are you?
Yeah, well, thanks, boys. Looking forward to some big set of trials coming up from Doomben and Bow Desert tomorrow as we start to get closer to the Winter Carnival up here. Obviously, day two of the championships in Sydney this weekend, but things are starting to warm up here. The weather has sort of been a bit of a head wreck for trainers over the last couple of weeks. They've had trials washed out or race meetings washed out. So this set of trials that are conducted tomorrow at both Doomben and Bow Desert are quite important to just get some fitness under the legs of some of these horses going through. Tony Gollan's going to send around a big team, including Antino and Freedom Rally, Comrade Rosa. I believe the Magic Millions three-year-old Guineas winner Abounding could be a nomination in a trial up there, and Far Too Easy for David McComb is likely to trial at Doomben as well, although we could see him at Bow Desert as well. So there's a number of key horses stepping out at the trials tomorrow. So a big set, and be interesting to see how a few of them go as they start to ramp up towards the carnival, which will commence the first week of May.
Are you hearing any big-name horses going up there, Mitch?
Yeah, Loz, it seems like Think About It will come up here, and whether he tries to defend his Stradbroke title or not, he might be waited out of it this year, but I believe the Kingsford Smith is his now next target. He's had a bit of a luckless campaign through situations that just haven't panned out for him through bad draws this prep. He's sort of drawn off the track in the Canterbury Stakes and the George Ryder, and then again he was poorly served in the Doncaster with a wide draw. He battled away well, but maybe the mile and the testing track just saw him out. So I believe a freshen up is on the cards for him, and most likely he'll head towards the Kingsford Smith. Magic Time is another runner that I think connections are weighing up, whether they tackle the all-age stakes after her run in the TJ or whether they come north and head through that sprint series. Giga Kick is in the mix to come north and perhaps even I Wish I Win. So it's starting to build nicely, but I guess also too the how things pan out with Sydney this weekend is another big factor with our carnival and how horses pull up from day two of the championships after some testing runs last week on that heavy track.
Right, we're at Ipswich today. We need something. What have you got?
Yeah, I can't believe this, Mido, that trainers have been crying out for turf racings and turf options. They get a soft five at Ipswich and there's feels like there's 100 scratchings that happened at Eagle Farm last Saturday too. It's something that needs to be addressed with all these scratchings. But anyway, a tip in the last. Hopefully it works out better for us. Race 9, number 3, Salou. This race has been cut in half with scratchings. Was a bit of a hit and run here at the Gold Coast on Jewel Day. Just got caught in behind some one tiring horse at the time and never really got out. And in fact, the horse sort of ducked through underneath and pinched third. And I reckon it should have run there. Off that first up run, it'll only improve second up. And Andrew Million from a half decent gate with that soft five rating, I think at $4, it's worth a play in the last race. 9, number 3, Salou.
Yeah, I'm sure I lost plenty of money on this horse when it was with Godolphin, actually.
Yes, yeah, it won a race at Goulburn, beat yeah. Red Card, and it looked like Burnborough, the way that it finished off in its maiden at Goulburn, and I think it sucked a few people in after that maiden, and it's now changed stables to Chris Lees and Australian Bloodstock have got it, so on its day, it's certainly capable of winning a race like this. It'll just need to turn up in some of its better form.
Okay, race 9, number 3 at Ipswich today, Salou. $4.60, Andrew Mallin rides for Chris Lees. Mate, you have a great day. Thanks again.
Thanks, boys. Chat to you next week.
Oh, Bulldog. You have copped it this morning on the text line. Thank you for all the texts. We just...
Don't back down. Yeah. All right?
Ready? Well, come on, read
take
a breath.
Take a breath. Right. Stick with your position and hammer them.
Okay, what have I got here?
I've taught you well this morning.
Anyway, I need to come back to this. There's some great ones here. No, I'm looking for the ones that get stuck into you, but they're just coming too thick and fast. Dinosaur Richie. what else have we got?
I saw a meathead, Richie.
Yeah.
That's Pudgy.
Pudgy. Pudgy journos like Bulldog. Have to write utter drivel. Bulldog, you are proof that you don't need headlock knocks to lose your marbles and talk dribble, says Hatchie from the Heights.
All right. Keep them coming.
No, seriously, respond. Bulldog, you're the reason we have so much red tape. Why the world is completely cast.
So it's all my fault. Yep, put the whole world on me. Why not? Everything's my fault. Everything's my fault.
Some of these are fantastic.
Some you
Thank
can't
you.
Read out.
Yeah.
But Bulldog, that's what we want from you, mate. Strong opinion and then hold your position.
Hold your ground.
Hold your position, all right? You've learnt. You'll get better at it over time, but you're getting there, mate. That's why I admire, because you're a good listener.
Yeah, now that means a lot to me.
Steve Hewlett coming up on Radio Tab this morning. Morning, Steve.
Can't you just say it and put the swearometer on or something? It'd be good, great radio, anyway.
Steve, it means a lot to you when Laurie says he approves of your work. It makes you go to bed feeling warm and fuzzy, doesn't it?
Yeah. I'd imagine so.
What have we got on today, Steve?
Look, Tyler Schiller is going to join us. Obviously, we'll talk about the Doncaster Celestial Legend and his rides on the weekend. And just his career. I find it extraordinary that the Doncaster was run on the 6th of April and then his first winner was on the 6th of April, 2019. Laurie would know this place, Hilston. Apparently, it's outside of Geraldine.
Yeah, I know Hilston.
Yeah, well, that's where he rode his first winner on the same day 5 years earlier.
Only a tiny little spot, Hilston.
There you go. So Tyler Schiller's down on the list. Edward Cummings, he's got a horse running on the weekend that should run very well, Straight Acer. But there's talk that horse is coming to Queensland for a big race in Rockhampton. So we'll talk to Edward Cummings all about Straight Acer and a few other horses as well. Kim Healy will join us. He won the Pioneer Sprint in the Alice on the weekend with a $70 chance called Mathematics. But Kim trained camels for many, many years as well. So he graduated from camel racing into thoroughbred racing, and he just loves Alice Springs. And he's, of course, from South Australia, Strathalbyn, but he loves the Alice. And he won another feature race in the Territory on the weekend. So he'll be one of our guests as well. But David Fowler's going to talk to Barry Lockwood and also Matty Hoisted. So plenty of news this morning.
Great stuff, Steve.
Thanks, guys.
Catch you shortly. Coming up on Radio Tab, Dave Stanley's got a big racing HQ coming up as well. How are you, DS?
Morning, Mido. Morning, Bulldog. Morning, Loz. Yeah, man, I didn't back a win on the weekend. It's all Bulldog's fault.
Of course it is.
The rain, that track.
Yeah, that was mine.
Yeah. All
that
the
rain,
fault.
Look, I'm really sorry to any people that had issues out with the rain. I'm so sorry.
He's a bit rattled, Dave. He's a bit rattled.
He is rattled.
Dave,
he is rattled.
It was a bit chilly this morning, and I apologise if people had to put a cardigan on.
And that bad traffic on, you know, Warringah Road, that's all your fault.
I didn't start well for him this morning, Dave.
Anyone on Parramatta Road?
I played a little trick on him this morning.
Bulldog. What happened? Because I missed it this morning.
Well, you know, you come down Wakehurst Parkway and you've got to turn right to get to the office.
Yes.
I was waiting at the lights, you know, and you wait, and it turned green. And I knew that Bulldog was behind me, but he didn't know it was me.
So, oh, did he beep? Don't tell me
No,
beeped.
No, no. So I waited and waited and waited. And then when it got orange, then I
left. And then you left. Oh, and he couldn't go through.
Dave, it was still green, of course.
Yeah.
Wink, wink. I went through. The law.
You went through.
And all I was getting was this. He didn't know who was in front. Oh, I got pleasure out of that.
Juvenile behaviour. Juvenile.
He's done that before. Lozzers loves that early morning. I remember one time I'm driving to work and there's no one on the road at French's Forest. And Lozzers like hanging out the window and like looking and waving. And I didn't even know.
Only when
there.
It suits him. If you come in here and talk to him, it's like, stay away from me.
After Matty Johns on a Friday, if you come in and go, oh, pump for the weekend. And oh, Mister, I'm sick of everything.
Yeah, leave me alone.
100%. Yeah, when he's up and about,
what his terms.
100%. 100%. Has he been like that forever?
Yes,
Bulldog. Since you've known him?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's Laurie first, and then the rest of us just fall into line around 7, 8, or 9.
I wish you were a greyhound bulldog because we win every big feature at Wenny Park. You just ping the lids and chase.
Just go.
Take the bait today. I've been watching the text line. It's outstanding. That big show coming up with Steve Hewlett, he just mentioned. Looking forward to those interviews. I'm going to chat with Ben Hayes, Mitch Cohen, Adrian Bott, Chris Lees, Brad Widdop, Roger James, and also going to, throughout the morning, hear from Adam Hieronymus, Michael Wood, and Sean Ritchie, boys. So I don't know if you guys have seen, Mido, you probably have seen on social media. We were talking about this American chap, John Stewart, who has spent a lot of money in the States. Last couple of years, he's spent millions of dollars, and he's coming down to Australia. Well, he's actually now put out a bit of social media. It's got 100,000 hits and trainers replying to it from all over the country. He's basically put up on social media the lots that he bought at Inglis that he paid a lot for, and he said, right, please reply to this tweet or X or whatever you want to call it. If you're interested in training one of these horses, I'd like to know why. I don't really know much about Australian racing. We'll take everyone's thoughts, and then we will compile a top four, and away we go. And the way he wrote the tweet, I must admit, when I first saw it, I thought, oh, okay, well, you're going to get, you know, it's just racing fans tweeting in or replying to him. But he's actually had a lot of our top trainers, Bjorn Baker, Graham Begg. I saw some trainers from Adelaide, some trainers from Queensland, all replying to him to try and get his attention, to try and get these horses in the stable. So,
opportunity.
Yeah. Again, just something, like I said yesterday, Mido, something different we're not really used to. Like, we're not used to a big owner here buying a number of big lots and then tweeting out, hey, who wants to train these horses? Send me your pitch. It's just not something we're used to here. And I must admit, I don't mind it because you're seeing a lot of trainers sort of state their case about which lot they'd like to train. What's happened?
Sorry, it's just the text.
What about we use two balls to kick off with? What's happening? What's happened here?
I'm reading it. It's time for Bulldog to change his name to Chihuahua. Bulldog says Ray at Cowra.
Bulldog should go from commentating rugby league to camel racing.
Stick with Home and Away.
Offering
$500. Don't bring Home and Away into it. That gets real personal.
Offering $500 cash for Chihuahua Richie to let Fisher Harris run at him on a fullback. Off the back fence, watching go around the hips to take him down, says Craig.
See, Matt's got a bit of common sense from Balgallop. Morning, gents. Thank you, Bulldog, for the rain. It gave me a 4-day weekend. Good on you, Matt. Nice to have a bit of support from the Northern Beaches.
Very good.
Sorry, Dave, we hijacked your segment.
Sorry, mate.
No. I'm actually reading the text number. No wonder you blokes have been laughing your head off the last half an hour because our listeners are very clever, aren't they?
It's better.
We just can't read them out, though. Some of them don't.
No, some of them you can't read out. But anyway.
Thank you for coming in for the whole day, though, today, Dean.
Yeah. Oh, it's been a pleasure, as always. I really love coming in here. It's always such a warm and inviting atmosphere. It just makes you go home wanting to come back again. When am I back?
Sunday.
Okay. Ray.
Yes.
A little softer. A bit more softly, softly.
Come on, Bulldog. We love you.
Thank you, Dave, by the way.
Hey, Dramas, I'm just actually reading here your top 30 ways, Dean, that Rugby League's Vegas extravaganza can be bigger in 2025. And you've got some good points there. Everyone should have a read of that. I like it.
Dave, it was 2 weeks ago.
No, I know, but I'm just reading it now. The tackle count on the board in the big LED for the...
Yeah, no.
Everything.
Can you remember, can you remember all 30,
it's called
mate?
Quality journalism, mate. And it takes people like you to appreciate it, so thank you. Okay?
Jeez, he's fired up.
He's dirty.
Oh, he's dirty. Oh, God, look out the phones today at News Limited. They'll just be smashed to pieces on the desk.
See I'm going to walk out, upend this table and walk.